I'm thrilled. I'm about to have a two-part podcast series with Maddie and Tay. We had so much fun and so much goodness and soulful inspiration and just talk about journey, what it's like to be a woman in the music entertainment industry, how they stay grounded. They're each so different. Maddie and Tay both have a different way of expressing themselves. Tay is more introverted and Maddie is more extroverted, and they have figured out this way that works for them, and they talk all about it. They talk about how important it is to be real and authentic. They're going to share all about their new music and why this is the most personal album they have ever made, and we're going to do it in two parts. So here is part one of Maddie and Tay.
Talking, hey, what's on your mind? She's on the inside, she got the scoop on the ones to watch, on the ones that's hot. No one can do it quite like Caroline.
Hey y'all, it's Caroline Hobby, and welcome to my show, Get Real from the Music City, Capital of the World. In each episode, I get the real story from the most inspiring, interesting people in Nashville, Tennessee. I have done everything in the music entertainment industry. I was in the trio Stealing Angels with two top 50 country charting songs, a finalist and runner-up on season 22 and season 24 of The Amazing Race. You can currently catch me on CMT's hit show, I Love Kelly Pickler. I am an entertainment news correspondent and host for the TV show Nashville Insider. And my podcast, Get Real with Caroline Hobby, was featured on iTunes New and Noteworthy and charted on iTunes Top 200 podcast. I'm also married to the smoking hot front man, Michael Hobby, of the number one chart-topping band, 1,000 Horses. So buckle up and get ready to get real with me, Caroline Hobby. Welcome to my show.
So excited. I'm about to interview Maddie and Tay. I love these girls. Talk about empowered women. That is them. We're going to talk about everything, real life, touring, how they do it all, what their soul's calling is, how they found it. Maddie and Tay, oh my God, I've been wanting to interview them forever.
Hi, girl. How you doing?
Nice. This is our first drinking coffee.
Wait, this is a cute mug, too.
I really need a day between Saturday and Sunday.
Why haven't they invented that?
Nice to see you.
That should totally be a thing.
Like, hey, can we create a day between?
Maybe a Maddie and Tay day? I'm going to take
yes,
one too.
Yes, totally. And it's just a day of relaxation. I know, just
we're lounging.
Heck. This is the comfy couch.
I love this. Oh, hey, you know what?
Y'all, did you feel that? Was she going to go down that slow-mo?
We really need a day.
I watched it on Slow-Mo.
It's really Monday-ish today, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Spilling coffee
it's
and
Monday.
Everything. Oh. How are you doing?
So good, you guys.
This is our first podcast. We've never done
one. Oh, yeah.
But it was like one of my goals this year to do some podcasting.
Are you serious?
Yes.
And I get to be your first one?
I know. And I listen to yours all the time. Like, right before I get on flights, it's like, I haven't downloaded the new ones yet because I'm not flying out till like Friday. But the new ones I'm going to be getting on Thursday night and making sure that I have them, girl.
Oh, my gosh.
I listen. The last ones were Mallory Irvin and Jessica.
Southern. Yes. I don't even know her real name. Jess Southern. Just Payne.
Yeah.
But Jess Southern.
Just totally. But yeah, something. I just listened to those and I loved them. You do really well at your job. Like, this is the perfect thing for you to do.
Oh my gosh, I appreciate that, guys.
I feel like as women, we like should do that more. Like, remind each other, like, you're doing a really good job.
Well, and that is, I'm so glad you bring that up.
Yeah.
Because I have been on a soul searching mission lately, just trying to figure out, like, what am I contributing to the world?
Right.
What can I bring to people that would inspire them, that I have access to? And I'm like, okay, I'm already doing these podcasts, interviewing the most interesting people, but really what my fan base is women, most of them.
Totally.
And they want to know about empowered women.
Right, right.
And how you do what you do and how you like find your calling.
And the real life struggles of what looks like empowered women, like the behind the scenes of what it takes to become.
Yeah, because Instagram, it's like,
Instagram.
She's so perfect and lovely. And it's like, wait, no, she has terrible days. Yeah. Sometimes you look in the mirror and you're like, girl, you are not cute. What's going on here?
Yeah, I know.
Get it together.
Okay. I know. I feel that way all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other day, this is when I realized that my audience wants to hear about real life women stuff.
Totally.
Because the other day, I posted this video on Instagram, and I pretty much vacuum every day. And I was just vacuuming in my underwear.
And I posted a picture of it. But then I thought to myself, I'm about to make every other person feel like total shit if they don't feel like they're vacuuming their underwear for their man or whatever. Because, you know, because everyone's like, oh my God.
Like, trying to be sexy on chores.
Yeah. But I was like, okay, I have to show the other half of this. And I sat down and I showed, all my fat rolls. Because I've gained 8 pounds.
You hush.
Just, you recently I've gained 8 pounds, which is totally fine. But I was just like, here's the real life of vacuuming your underwear.
It jiggles. It's not right and tight.
I love that. And I got 200 messages in 2 hours. I've never gotten that in my whole life. So I was like, this is what people want to talk about. Real life stuff.
I'm so with you. Like, I love, the surface stuff is so boring. Like, I love just, getting in the soul. Like, Tate had this. How did you explain it?
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I've known Maddie for 7 years. We've known each other for 7 years.
Yes.
How old are you guys? Because y'all are so young and so wise.
22.
But we'll be 23
in July. So we were, 15, 16.
Yeah.
She
was 15, now 16.
Yeah, I was about to turn 16. And, you know, we've known each other for 7 years, but it's like every day we learn something new about each other because that's just how it is. It's basically like a marriage.
Oh, for sure.
Beyond marriage, really.
Yeah, totally. So every day you just learn a new quirk or learn a new whatever. And so it's taken Maddie probably several years because I like to think of myself as a unique bird.
Okay, how so? Explain that. What does that mean?
She makes fun of me because I call myself unique and not straight.
No, she called herself weird, and I said, you're unique, you're not weird.
Unique. Okay, tell me why. What makes you unique?
I'm a very private, even though what I do for a living or a career is very
public.
Vulnerable and open and, public, I'm still a really private person.
Even with me.
And even
I have to, pry stuff out of her.
And she's, my closest friend. And I've known her for 7 years, and so you'd think. But I'm still just, really, really private. But Maddie's, that kind of friend that... Sorry, I got to set my coffee mug down.
Yeah, because there's a whole...
She's that kind of friend that, no matter how hard you don't want her to be in your heart... I want her to be in my heart, but, see my heart. She just, takes these pliers.
She's like...
And just, like a crane. Just,
And just, I get one arm in, and I'm I'm in!
She can reach anyone's soul. There's so many people that have said that about her, but
yeah, I just wiggle my way into people.
So y'all kind of yin and yang. I want to talk to you about that because I feel like a lot of women do have a hard time opening up. Is it that when is it being vulnerable? Is it putting yourself out there because you know people can be so harsh and
Absolutely.
The feedback or letting someone in and giving them the ability to judge you on something that maybe you don't want anyone else's opinion on?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all that. Just knowing the risk of, okay, I'm about to tell all these people this is what my heart looks like. How are they going to receive that? Are they going to like it or are they going to hate it? And, you know, people are very open about their opinions and how they feel. And sometimes it's not easy
to shut... And they can be mean.
Exactly. And it's not easy to shut those things out. So I think that it's a little bit of all of that, just like the fear. But Maddie and I have gotten to the point where, you know, the people that like us are going to like this and those that don't.
Totally. I feel
That's
like
fine.
You've opened up a lot the past year, too. She's opened up so much.
Yeah, just everything we've gone through with our career in the past year has definitely taught me a lot about just being secure in myself and the things that I go through are just going to make me better.
And asking for help. I think that's another problem women do not do.
Okay, talk to me about that.
Oh my gosh. Okay, I had to figure that out the hard way because our first year, out and about,
Because you guys came onto the scene and y'all came in with Girl in a Country Song and blew this world up. Truly, because that was the first song in this bro era, which for all you guys listening, I don't know if people outside of Nashville know this, but there was this bro thing happening where all these bro, it's like the bro club. Talk to me about that and how your song changed that because y'all really did something very different that was probably very scary to put out there.
The interesting part with Girl in a Country Song was when we turned that song in, there was a couple people in the industry that told us that it could not be played on radio and no one would ever play it, no one would ever support it because it was too much. It was
basically you're saying...
Yeah, where we were just hey, every chick in these songs that are being played on the radio are in some bikini. They're not saying anything. They just look hot. And all the music videos is these freaking girls with perfect bodies climbing out of the lake and I'm what the frick, is that not real, let's
absolutely.
Be real here. And then
absolutely
they're just doting over the guy and I'm just ew, that it's just ugh.
But
just,
it's crazy because that conversation alone, someone looking at us and telling us that Girl in a Country Song could never see the light of day, could have stopped our career right there.
Exactly.
And we could
especially because you're so young, so new, so impressionable at that
time. And we were 18 when we wrote the song.
Vulnerable and
probably
naive.
Some guy told you that, didn't he?
Yes.
Yes. Some old dude probably told you that.
And so someone looking you in the eye when you're just wanting to impress everyone and make a print on this town, which is so hard to do, we could have just said, okay, you know what? We tried. We're going to go home. But instead we were like, no, we really think this message needs to be heard.
So did y'all push for it?
Oh, yeah.
We played it out at a round.
We played it at a round, and then we got a record deal. So it was
I mean, yeah. This is the thing. There was mixed feelings where it was like, there's some people that were like, don't play it. Like, that's going to be a mess. And then some people were like, ah, just try it, whatever. So and then when we started playing it out, like before we got on the road, there was times where we were in a writer's round with men that, you know, had written songs like that. And it was so awkward for them because it was like, we played this song and they're like, oh crap. Like, yeah. My song is totally like just making a woman look like just a little side piece, like, yeah. And she's not valued. And you know what, I'll tell you, when I turn on country radio now, and we're not the reason for this, I think there's just so many conversations that have been started the past like 5 years, mm-hmm. about equality and empowerment for women and everything, but I haven't heard any of those songs in a long time. Country where I just felt like, as a woman, because like my thing is, I'm such a country music fan, I want to be a fan of all the guys, all the girls, yes. I'm a fan of everyone, but when I would hear these songs, you know, like 4 years ago when we wrote Girl, I was like, I don't want to be that chick.
Because
I have something to say.
Yeah, it's unrealistic.
I want to have value. I don't just want to be some little, because I don't look like the model in that video. I don't relate to, you know what I mean? Like, and you don't.
And that's not what you're going for. You want to go for your talent. You have a message. You have your brain.
Totally.
So you guys wanted to show your empowered side.
Totally.
Which is sometimes hard to figure out. Like, I know in my 20s, I would get so much praise and I would be sexy. And I actually had a friend, yeah. a young friend of mine that I just had lunch with the other day. He's like making her way in the music industry. And she's just naturally very sexy. She loves to dance.
Right.
That's her thing. But it's like, what, how do you navigate that? Because that whole being sexy and being empowered, mm-hmm. I think you can do them both.
Absolutely.
But it is like back in how it used to be, the boys' mm-hmm. club, it's girls are sexy, that's it.
Yeah.
And you really, we don't really care about what you have to say.
My advice mm-hmm. would be, and or at least the way that I don't really give off like a sultry vibe. I'm more of like just a friend, like a very like friend zoney vibe with guys. But like
a bro.
Yeah, like I'm kind of friend zoney. But with that stuff, I would say like, pick your moments. So it's like, if on a red carpet you feel like, you know what, I really want to feel sexy. There's been times where I'm like, you know, I tell our stylist, I'm like, I want to feel sexy. I want to feel like a woman, and like, I don't really have a ton of curves, but I just want to show, you know, like, not, you know, show everything.
You should
I just want
to feel good sexy. And feel sexy.
But then, you know, like when we walk into a radio station, and you know, most of country radio is really great about this. Like, it's not, we haven't ran into it as much as most. We've ran into it a couple times, but when I know that we're going into a radio station, it's a business thing. It's like, this is our work. I'm like, I'm not going to have my boobs out. I'm not going to wear booty shorts, because for me, I don't feel sexy that way. I feel sexy when they are listening to what I have to say.
Right.
And I feel sexy when they are like really grasping the message. So it's like, no
distraction.
Yeah. Know when to, like, know what your sexy is for each environment. So it's like,
that is
with
yeah,
your man,
great advice.
It's like, with your man, it's one thing. With your girlfriends, it's one thing. Because, like, her and I, we would, like, when we went to Jamaica for the show that we were doing, it was like a thing for a radio station. I was like, girl, I'm going to wear a bathing suit. I'm going to have my booty cheeks out. Because it was like, you know, there wasn't a ton of people. It wasn't businessy or anything. But when it was time for business, it was like,
yeah,
I want them to pay attention to my brain. Not
and I
body.
Think to also echo that and play a little bit of devil's advocate, because there's two sides of it all.
Yeah.
You know, for women, because I'm very much on the same side of her as where I feel most confident when people are understanding me and I feel like they're listening to me and viewing me as, you know, an equal and not as a sexual being.
Yeah.
But for some women, it's, you know, they want to rely on their sexuality and they want to rely on their attractiveness and their looks, and that's totally fine.
Yeah.
I think if that's also the route you take, being comfortable and just knowing that your strengths and what you choose to put out there, just rock it. Like, don't put it out there and then take
be
it
afraid.
Back.
Yeah. Yes,
and then,
totally.
And like, be
own
what
own
you
it.
Are.
Whatever it
yeah.
is. If it's your sexuality, if it's your writing, if it's mm-hmm. your singing, if you just want to play guitar, like, whatever it is, just stick to that and know that mm-hmm. that's your strength, and don't be afraid that that is your strength.
Right. Right.
And that
yeah.
also brings me to another thing I really want to focus on, which mm-hmm. is soulful living. Like, living
yes.
from your soul. Feeling
oh,
like
oh,
you
yeah.
are living
it's so much
your
harder.
Passion. It is harder, I feel, that way, because you have to dig in every day. You have
yes.
to dig
How
in.
How do you do that? Okay, so explain to me, because you girls have been through so much. You've been you've top of the world, superstars, and then you've seen, like, transition. You've seen
totally.
Everything.
It's been...
which is what this industry is, and
oh,
everyone
sure.
just sees the highlight. But now with Instagram, I actually feel like people are getting to see more of the real
yeah,
stuff, which
totally.
Is great. But
totally.
How do you get to your soul and live from your soul every day? Like, what are your techniques to do that without getting lost in this world?
That's a great question. I think for me,
the way that I recharge in general is my alone time, and I also find that my alone time and being quiet with myself is also how I reach my soul. And you're just able to listen to your own thoughts with them, mm-hmm. which I think is important, because we live in a society where it's very easy to be persuaded or pressured to think a certain way or have a certain opinion.
Totally.
And you kind of forget, wait, what is my own opinion on this? Do I even mm-hmm. have a feeling, or is it swayed by what someone else thinks? So I think just taking the time to listen to yourself.
Totally. Well, and see, I'm opposite. So yeah. we've done like see, the Enneagram and the Myers-Briggs.
What are y'all? So like, who are you guys? Okay. I did the Enneagram too.
I'm number two. I'm the helper.
Okay.
What are you?
I'm number four, the romantic. So I'm like an emotional.
My boyfriend's a romantic.
Yeah. So he's a four. He's a four.
Gosh.
And she's a nine.
I'm a nine. You're but a peacemaker.
So... Yes.
Yes.
She's a peacemaker. So my mom made me, like our whole family, take the Enneagram and then we all had to compare.
It changed my life.
It's changed my life.
It has. So yeah. for me, I'm like so extroverted, and I love, like, this is how my soul gets filled. Like,
get
just talking about this. So like the way that I, like, if there's something wrong or I'm like hurting or something, if I talk to someone and I like talk it out, I feel great. Like our manager, Haley, she has been one of the most influential people in our career and just one of our favorite mm-hmm. people to be around. But she, has this system with me where she knows when I'm upset, and so she's like, let's just talk about it. Like, I'll just call you and da, da, da. And I'm like, oh no, you're busy, and then I just like talk it out. She's like, then you're good, you're good, you're not having a meltdown, you're totally good, no breakdown. I'm like, oh yeah, I just needed to say it,
just
I just
get
needed
it out.
To get it out there.
You have a backboard but someone also, who has good knowledge.
Yes. And I love like getting, like, I feel like when I get to know someone else's heart, I like get to know mine a little more too.
Oh,
like
yeah.
with how I
see that.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Because like, you see similarities and you're like, oh, okay, this is soul living.
Totally.
Because we're connecting on this.
Yeah.
Heart
what is your
level.
Thing? I'm curious because I want to integrate. Like, I need to do alone time. I'm just really bad at it because I love to be around people. I don't like being by myself. Very needy. Like,
fours are interesting.
Fours are a handful.
Fours are a handful, but I envy you guys because y'all, I don't know if every four is this way, but reading y'all's, obviously, I read on it just to know my boyfriend better, but it says that y'all are very comfortable, not comfortable, comfortable is the wrong word, but you are aware of your feelings.
And so aware of my feelings.
Exactly. And see, as a nine, I'm like... oh gosh, I push it away. It's like it doesn't exist. So I envy that side of you guys. I think that's so impressive that you're able to look at your heart
like
and be
you
like,
know I am feeling this.
Exactly.
Because I
you don't
start
shy away from it.
Acting some kind of way and I'm like, why am I acting like this? And it takes
like, this
me,
isn't
like,
my this I'm not
this
that's
not
another
me.
Thing. Okay, break that down because I feel like so many people do that. I do that too as a four.
Yeah.
Also, but it's like I can easily figure out what somebody needs from me, or if someone has a very big personality, I can easily be like, okay, this is your personality. How can I fit into your vibe?
Totally.
But then I lose myself, so I'm trying not to do that.
Yes. Yeah, I get like that too, where like I want to accommodate, or like I just, or like for example, I won't like say names, but we went and played this show like a week ago, and there was like one guy that had like a really big personality, and he meant well, but he kept just doing like weird stuff, like saying real weird things. And so I was like, how can I like not make you look so uncomfortable because you are being uncomfortable, but like how can I make it to where this isn't as awkward as it actually is, like, you know
right.
what I mean? And so I feel like I'm always trying to accommodate that, like even if it's someone else is being weird, I'm like, oh,
yeah,
right.
No, she's
or,
really
like,
good
yes.
about that. If someone's saying, even if I'm saying something like, and she's like, what she means is and I'm like, oh thanks.
Thanks for clearing that. Like, I just wanted your message to get
exactly
across.
Like, she's really good about
but
that.
But part of me is like, why am I trying to cater to everyone? Like, why can't I just walk in?
Because we're women.
I know. Mm-hmm. Why do women do that? What
I
is
don't
that?
Know.
What
maybe
is
it's
that?
Like a motherly thing.
My mom was like that too. Like, she caters to every single person but herself. But now she is, you know, in her 50s.
What happened in her 50s? How did she? What?
She went through a lot of stuff. So my grandfather passed away in February. And so
her
like,
dad.
Yeah, her dad. And so that kind of, she's just been through a lot. Like, her brother passed away really tragically a couple years ago. And she's just a tough cookie.
She
and she's super mom and super wife and just like always extra mile. Everything, she works full time and like has a huge position at an oil and gas company in Houston. So she works with like all men. Like, it's like her and one other woman.
She just handles it.
She's just the best. But growing up, I saw her, and your mom too, because she's the same way. But your mom just does so much. And dads do a lot too. But like,
women can multitask and do it all at the same time.
Totally.
Men can do like one thing.
And the thing is, like, men, I feel, or like with my dad, he can do one thing so freaking
perfectly, like kill it, like put so much focus in it and crush it.
And then mom does like 10 things and like 5 of them are great, you know, because there's 5 other things that she just doesn't have time for.
Right. And then that's why women are always like spinning plates and stress all the time.
Wearing so many hats.
Totally. Do you feel like with your husband, like you have to like delegate where it's like, okay, I have literally 15 things I need to like just... Like, can you do this? Can you do this? I know I normally do it, but can you do this for me?
With Michael, it's really interesting because he's an artist, obviously.
Right. Wait, so what's his Enneagram?
He is a 7.
Okay. Which, good. That's gotcha. A good vibe, yes. Right?
Which is great because he is the good time guy. Mm-hmm. What is the 7 called? It's called...
Not the achiever.
It's like adventurer or something.
Yeah, okay. Totally.
He wants to have a good time. All the time.
Yeah.
If he can avoid hitting on to heavy, deep topics, he's going to. He will go into them. Like, I will force him to go down.
It's just not his
rabbit hole.
And that's why you work so well together.
Because I basically force him into therapy with me every day.
Yeah.
Because I just chat it out with, like, not me as the therapist.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me help you.
That's why I'm like, for me, like, I've thought about going to therapy because I just hear amazing things and it could just be
I did go to therapy and it changed my life.
See, I feel like I need to do it, but at the same time, I'm like, I talk so much about how I'm feeling to people. Like, it's like my dad's kind of my therapist, my mom, she is.
Yeah.
I need to like actually do that one day. But
Michael and I went to therapy together. Before we got married, we went to therapy together because we were together 4 years, we broke up 2 years, and then we got back together and I was like,
premarital?
Oh, okay. Then we eloped. And so I was
That's what she wants to do.
You gotta look. I'll tell you everything. Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that next.
Yeah.
But I was like, I had helped myself so much with therapy because I was going like every week for a year when we were broken up. And he was like growing in his own way. But I was basically like, we're not getting back together and going to do this if we don't get our heads right.
Totally.
So smart. This therapist is amazing because she broke our personalities down into 3 people. She's like, you have your wounded child. And her name is Susie, and she's at the estuary.
Everyone has the wounded child.
You have your wounded child. What happened to you when you were a child that, like, imprinted you, scarred you, like, hurt you so badly that your middle chair manipulator is trying to avoid that pain at all costs? So your middle chair manipulator is spinning plates trying to never touch on those hot buttons. But then you come over here to your third chair, which is your truth chair, and that's just the truth. What is real?
The facts.
Wow. The facts. And so she would make Michael and I go through all of our stuff, and then she'd be like, oh, you're talking from your first chair. So we'd have to go sit in the first chair, and she'd be like, now what would your truth chair say? And she'd make us go walk and sit in the truth chair until we could figure out what our truth was. And that was so helpful. It was so helpful just to like realize I have so many people up in here, and most of them are crazy.
But here's the truth. I mean, the way you... compartmentalizing to me is like it fixes everything like,
totally.
When you're able to view things as they are and different, so it's not just one jumbled mess that you're looking at. That's
and you're
so
not
smart.
Just like chatting, you're actually getting tools to help yourself. So you're like, oh, I'm in my middle chair manipulator.
Totally.
And we'd be that, we'd be like, oh, you're in your middle
you
chair
still
right
do
now
that?
Totally. We really don't anymore because we've gotten so good now at just like living this life.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but we'd be like, in the beginning it'd be like, oh, you're in your middle chair.
Totally.
Oh shoot, I'm in my middle chair.
I know.
And then
I
you'd be like,
look forward to doing that. Like, I really want to do that whole thing because I've been with my guy for 7 years.
And they, therapist.
Yeah. I know. And
they
so,
all have a similar story.
Yeah. So we were together in high school for a year, broke up for a year, and then got back together, and it was like on. Like we were like.
And how did you handle your fame exploding and your career exploding while navigating this relationship?
So he knew me when I went to my first like vocal lesson before I even met Tay. Like him and I were dating.
Yeah.
So he doesn't like he loves who I am, not what I do. So it's really
perfect.
Nice to like come home and he just doesn't like, he's proud but he doesn't really care.
Right.
And you know, he's like super supportive and everything, but for him he's just like, go do your thing, like go do you. But I will say, with being together for so long, we have figured out that both of us have amazing parents, but obviously every person goes through different childhood memories and things kind of pop up or things will trigger, you know, hard memories, great memories, you know, stuff like that. And so we have been figuring out, like, our 7th year, I feel like, is all about digging that stuff up and like talking about it. Like, I know, like, there's certain things that if I do, like, it brings him back to his childhood of, like, really hurt things, and I, like, can't do that. Like,
that's it's a trigger.
Yeah, and same with me. But I never really thought about that until, like, this year. We've been just, like, sitting down with a bottle of wine and just
doing the work.
Totally. Like, doing the dirty work where you just get in there. And that's the one thing with, like, Instagram. Everyone's like, oh, relationship goals. I'm like, it's not relationship goals until you dig deep in there.
Yeah, you know, amen to that. Yeah. And so many people, I feel like, don't do that with their relationship.
Yes.
And so then they end up being in love with this person. And obviously, some people, like, you date and it's not a match and you should break up.
Right.
But if you go to the point where you're going the distance, you're thinking about marriage, you're in this thing to win it, I feel like so many people don't do that digging.
Yeah.
But really, that is what's going to, I feel like, save you in the long run, because it's going to come out. It's totally going to come out.
Love is so much more than, like,
sex.
Googly eyes.
Yes.
That's so funny.
Yeah, totally.
Sex, googly eyes, butterflies. Like, and that's also why Enneagram changed my life. Because when you're able, for me, if I was to, like, get in a disagreement with somebody, I would take everything that they said very personally. They're like, oh, like, I'm sensitive. That hurt my feelings. And I would make it all about me, and not realizing that that's just their personality. If they want to take things, you know what I mean?
Like, it's them, not you.
It has nothing to do with me.
Their
perspective, their way of looking at things has nothing to do with me. And that was something about the Enneagram that I've learned, because I know my parents' Enneagram, I know hers, I know, like, my brother's.
She'll be like, you're being such a two.
I love that you guys did this.
It's, like, changed my life, and I've been able to love people in a way that I've never been able to.
Because you're able to see how they
understand them and love and cherish them for all of their quirks.
And realize that so y'all don't match on all the same levels. Right. And you don't have to.
You know what? I feel like both of us have learned a lot the past couple years. And for me, this was really hard, because I, like, grew up in Texas in a very conservative household. Like, my dad's very strong, like, very, very just, like, hard-headed, like, in a great way.
Yeah,
but, like,
just that Texas man.
Yeah, that Texas stubbornness all up in my family. But I have learned, like, make relationships with people that are opposite of you. So, like, don't just hang out with people that are like you. Don't just hang out with cultures, with, you know, with your career, with whatever it is.
Right.
Like, mix it up. Always put someone different and new in your life and, like, try to learn from them.
Because
I totally was guilty of just hanging out with people that were like me because I understood them.
Exactly.
And then,
and it didn't challenge you, and it didn't scare you.
And then for us, like, going through as much as we've been through the past 2 years, I was like, I have to understand her. Like, I know when I was hurting, I needed to call her and tell her I was hurting, and she listened to me. And I was always like, why isn't she telling me what's wrong? And she's like, the way that I deal is, like, she needs her time, and then she'll call me when it's time.
You have
time
to fully process it.
Oh, I internalize everything.
So how, what is that like? What goes on when you're processing?
So basically, like, what do you mean? Like, when something
happens. Okay, so say something happens that was not desirable. Say, like, a big career speed bump happens.
Totally.
That, like, you're not wanting to happen.
Yeah. So immediately I go in my brain. I feel like it's, Maddie and I talk about this movie all the time, but Inside Out.
Yes, you have a kids movie, Inside Out.
Okay,
y'all, you have to watch it.
So it's a movie, and it's basically about this girl and all of the emotions that live inside your head. Sounds so crazy. Wow. I don't have different personalities.
But it's genius.
We all have different personalities.
Don't worry.
So it's like all, it's like animated, and it's all the little, like, emotions in your head. So anger, happy, sad, hungry, like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's easy for me to kind of go inside, because I can't, if someone says something to me and I need to, like, respond in a very mature, kind, smart way, like, I can't do it right away. I have to think about it. I have to think of the best route. Like, I analyze every situation. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I could say this, but then it might lead to this. I could do this, but then it might lead to that. So I literally, in my mind, I have to go down every road and what it would look like long term before I react to anything.
I wish I did that.
Me too.
You're so smart.
No, y'all.
You asshole. No,
you're an asshole.
No, I'm just kidding.
Same.
I'll just say it with a smile, though. I'll be like, you're an asshole.
But the fault in that is it can make people think that I'm disinterested or that I'm not hurting. Because a lot of the times you probably thought that I don't feel the same way as you.
Oh, no, I knew, but I was just, like, waiting until she told me.
Yeah, so a lot of the times it can make people think that I'm just, like, really upset or really angry or I don't care.
But really, your mind has exploded.
In reality, I've exploded, and once I figure out which lane I'm going to take, then I will react.
I know you're freaking out and you cannot wait to hear part two of Maddie and Tay, so y'all gotta hang on till next week, but we're coming back with one more round of the incredible Maddie and Tay, and we're gonna keep getting deeper and deeper into all of their world, all of their thoughts, how they cope, how they do this life. It's all coming at you next week, so we'll see you next week.